Hawks did exactly what we wanted this past weekend. They got a dub out versus Maryland. No drama going into the last week of the season. Rivalry game against Nebraska, and we will get there later this week with our guy Searles. But before we do, lots happened in college football. Ranked teams losing all over the place. Nobody wants to be in the college football playoffs, apparently. Caleb Johnson back to dominating in the run game. Special teams was great. We talk about KF losing the locker room and leadership versus brotherhood. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in. Watch the Walk-Ons podcast. Grant, G-Bone, Kevin Ward, the three amigos all here to break down the Maryland game. Maybe give you some other fun stuff. Boys, how are we doing tonight?
Doing good. Every day is a gift. Feeling good.
Every day is a gift. Same for you, Kev?
Every day is a gift. Well said. Preach.
I'll tell you what, it's a gift when Kevin Ward shows up in a tank top. Absolutely flexing on the haters today on the podcast. We love to see it. Grant, you want to, in the background, pull up that betting recap for the weekend quick? We'll start there. A lot of stuff happened in college football this past weekend. We're glad you're here with us, by the way, on the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. Season is winding down. Just one regular season game left for the Hawks. Bowl season, the new college football 12-team playoff. Lots going on. Conference races. Plenty to worry about. Tons of ranked teams dropping over the weekend. But we're going to do the Ward's Winners Recap first on this show, brought to you by Green Tree Care.
My favorite. I love Green Tree Care.
Aren't they great, Grant?
I've always said that's one of the finer institutions, finer businesses we have in this country.
Yeah, that's what I'm
a firm believer in Green Tree Care for decades now, actually. Decades.
Right.
So.
Third generation Hawk, Matt Roberts, founder of Green Tree Care in the Des Moines metro area. One of the fine gentlemen and businesses that reached out after the podcast the other day. We're like, hey, this could be you. You're missing out on this Ward's Winners sponsorship opportunity. And Matt, he jumped on the bandwagon. Matt, we appreciate it. Green Tree Care. I'm going to share the screen here quickly. Over Grant's screen share, because I want you guys to watch what taking down an ash tree looks like. Look at this. Call the number. Free estimates. They got the cherry picker out there. It's probably not even it's a more sophisticated lift, and they just take that tree down. I mean, you need somebody to handle wood for you, dude.
I mean, that's a very satisfying video to watch.
Oh, with the clouds in the background.
Yeah.
For the podcast listeners, you want to imagine like David carving the Michelangelo, but instead it's a tree and there's no statue. It's completely gone.
Truly one of a kind. Again,
I've seen a few people from the in the OR who've come through because they tried to take down a tree by themselves, fell off the ladder. It's just bad news. Just call tree care. The
Green Tree Care. Call the professionals.
Yeah.
Professional arborist service, locally owned. Founded by Matt Roberts in the Des Moines metro area. You can bring that your screen back up now, Grant. Rough weekend for your boy. I had Indiana plus 13. They got really dog walked. They almost brought it back towards the end. And then Ohio State at the very end said, no, fuck you. Iowa minus 6. I felt great about that. And we'll talk about that, obviously, as the main part of this show. JMU minus 7. They lose outright. Looked good early.
Yeah, it's a tough one for JMU. I'm gonna be honest.
And then it didn't. Grant had me really high on that. He's like, "Hey, you should feel decent about that one." The other day,
they just straight up. I didn't know they were gonna get assaulted by snowballs before the game even started. So
that's tough. And then Colorado minus 3, they lose outright. Kansas on the reverse sweep here, trying to make a bowl game. The Jayhawks decided to play football down the stretch. So your boy goes 1-1-3. That takes my total record to 26-23. I'm pretty sure that's not profitable anymore at this point. Might just be there.
52 was what I calculated.
Okay, so not doing well. nonetheless, other two on the podcast, Grant, how'd we do on the weekend?
Yeah, I think we went 7-4, I believe, if I remember correctly. Overall, pretty good weekend. We did have Kansas easy outside of that insanely, insanely dirty hit on Shedeur Sanders.
That was, you know, I'm not more of a fan of Shedeur or Deion than anybody is, really. I think Shedeur is a good player. That clip of him getting absolutely upended is one of the dirtier things I've seen, I think.
I try and give people the benefit of the doubt. Like, oh, it's an accident, you know, playing out there's a lot going on. I can't even explain that one. It was like a mob hit almost. Like, hey, go take his kneecaps out or something.
Somebody paid insane. Him, huh? You think the mob
I don't know what it looks like in Lawrence, Kansas, but hey, could be around there. Arizona State, also crazy game versus BYU. Two field stormings in that game was pretty cool. Army, just I have no shame in defending the troops, especially against Notre Dame. So I will back them every time, and I will not apologize for it despite the result of the game. Auburn, probably the game of the weekend, honestly. Crazy four overtimes. Even though I felt like, are you guys a go for two crowd? You get the ball back in the first, like if you get the ball second, you score a touchdown, you can go for two, try and win the game or kick the extra point.
100% dependent on the flow of the game.
I was going to say, it's really going to matter on how, what things have looked like against what kind of play you're trying to run on that.
Do you feel like you have a good 2-point play?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there. Like the one that comes to mind is the Philly special. Like if you feel like you've got something spicy cooked up, I say go for it. But if you're just going to run one of your stock plays and you're just trying to win on a stock play, you're like, hey, let's just go beat these guys. Man, I don't know. You're putting a lot on that. In that situation, you're basically saying, okay, defense, we've brought it down to this. You can expend yourself. You can go all out on this one play. And so they're almost like, you're almost like getting more from the defense at that point than you would.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I'm of the opinion of that. If you're the underdog and you have the chance to go for two and win it, you do it.
I like
especially
that.
At home. Cause like in theory, I guess my point is that like, if you're an underdog, especially like you're 5-5 Auburn, like in theory, you have worse players. And like the longer the players are out there, the suit like time eventually will reveal.
If you're gonna,
the team is worse.
If you're gonna leave it up to statistics, at some point they're not gonna go your way.
Right. So it ended up working out though. Crazy game. One of my favorites of the year. Fresno. Great game. Beat CSU. UCLA. Awesome uniform matchup. Went late into the night. I couldn't believe how late this one started for being two big time programs, but still. Did not get it. Duke went well. UTSA was like, it feels like it was a week ago. Beat the Owls. And then Wisconsin, they let Nebraska get to a bowl game. And
actually think is a good thing.
For Wisconsin?
For this week.
Okay. Yeah, I could. Sure. Yeah, I guess I could. I could get along with that. But I really thought. It's very rare that you see someone guarantee victory in a tight game like that and get away.
They get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe tip of the cap to Mr. Raiola there. And then Minnesota nearly got the outright upset. That was some incredible stuff. But PJ Fleck, he just, you know, I genuinely think he just wanted to cover by kicking that field goal at the end. I don't understand what he was doing. He did not play to win, but he played to cover, so that was appreciative. And then Mississippi State got absolutely blown out, and that was never even a question. But we went above 500. It was a good weekend, so that was how it went.
We'll take it. Kev?
Yeah.
Got absolutely fucking slaughtered. Was on that Indiana game. Looked great to start, and then special teams are important, and Indiana gets kind of exposed there for a little bit. Bama minus 13.5. What the fuck happened there? No idea.
That's bad. The biggest question of the weekend. Wow. I mean,
2 weeks after they boat raced LSU, they just lay a complete dud. Offense is non-existent. Picks galore. So
they should be 100% out of the playoff, correct?
They should be. The thing is, everyone else doesn't want to make the playoff either. So, you know. Fact. They still have a chance.
They're going to find a way. They always like there's just no way that the committee lets Alabama sit out. I'm going to,
I mean,
I hate it.
But is this a bad time to say if only Iowa would have just been 10-2, it would have been a great year to make
10-2, Iowa probably gets in. 11-1, Iowa 1,000,000% gets in.
100% in. 10-2, Iowa, where a lot of people thought, eh, probably not. I think
maybe,
it ended
maybe
up
a 10-2 Iowa with a closer loss to Ohio State definitely gets like a 1-point loss to Iowa State and a closer loss to Ohio State probably sneaks in
with how things have shaken out. Yes.
Yeah. Just because, yeah, no one wants to make the playoff. We expanded to 12 teams and they're like, no, we were good with four before. We don't want any part of that. Everyone's deciding to lose here in the last few weeks.
Unbelievable.
Also had UCLA +4.5. They lose by 6. They probably should have covered that game. They go for it on their own 34-yard line with like 6 minutes left in the game is probably ill-advised. And then I had Penn State, and I just cannot pick the right side of the Minnesota game. 0-5.
Hey.
Doesn't matter if I'm on them or against them. Hey. I cannot pick the right side.
And you know what, Kev? I'm going to write this one down. We come back around to it on Thursday. I'm going to say, hey, I know that Minnesota game looks good, right? But we're just going to stay away from it, right? We're just going to stay away.
So yeah, that's my worst week of the year, 0-4, and we slide to a very average 26-20.
Yeah, and there's your recap. So depending on who you tailed this week, who knows? Really, who you should be tailing is Green Tree Care. Shout out to him. Where do we go from here? We can talk Iowa Hawks, Jackson Stratton. The biggest question of the weekend: could this guy actually be the chosen one? Can he sling it? Is Shaggy going to come in and save the Hawkeyes? Hey, I'm not. He's no Johnny Manziel, but I ain't saying he didn't do too shabby. Now, I will take it. 1-0 as a starter, baby. What are our initial thoughts here, Kev, on the Iowa Hawkeyes at Maryland this past weekend?
Impressive run game yet again. Defense came to play, controlled the ball. Drew Stevens is an amazing kicker. Yeah, really wasn't sure what we were going to get out of our cornerbacks this game or out of our offense this game, but pleasantly surprised, and we'll take it.
Grant, your thoughts?
I was pleased. I enjoyed everything that happened. I was a little disappointed from the Maryland crowd. I was kind of expecting more. I was a little bummed. I love hearing the Let's Go Hawks rain down in away stadiums. But also, I don't know, I want the best for Maryland football. Like, I want them to, like, you know, we're representing the Big Ten. Like, come on, guys.
Okay.
But I don't know. I was really, I was happy with the game. I just felt good about it. I think Mr. Stratton is just doing everything he needs right now. Not doing too much, not doing too little. He's playing to win, and I appreciate that for him.
His porridge is just right.
Ooh. Well, which bear got the porridge right in that one?
I think it was Baby Bears.
It Baby Bears?
I don't know.
I don't remember either. I was trying to think of, like, is that a new potential nickname? But Shaggy's probably better.
Oh, no. It's Shaggy and the Scooby-Doo memes until eternity with old Jackson Stratton. Going off your Twitter, Grant, I'd say you're high in the fan club of Jackson Stratton. I mean, it's...
Look, I'm a fan of pushing propaganda when it comes to my quarterbacks.
Sure.
All right?
Why not?
If they're witted... I'll push all the propaganda necessary. And it sounds like Mr. Stratton is going to be our starter against Nebraska, or at least that's what it sounds like. Things could change. This is as of 5:54 Mountain Time on November 24th. But I'm going to be pumping him up. I'm going to be firing him up. I'm going to try and, like, push this lineup to a couple points just by my own tweets if I have to.
I would love that. I like the clarifier there too, Grant, because the quarterback information, at least the drama, the rumors, basically since we recorded our Wednesday night podcast last week, it was all over the place. I'm not even sure where to take us back into the timeline. We obviously sat here on Wednesday night and said, okay, I gave you guys sort of what KF said in the press conference on Tuesday. Supposedly, he misspoke. And I don't remember. I did not end up watching the Wednesday night Hawk talk from The View. I think he clarified that he might have misspoke. I think I saw that somewhere. Misspoke when he said that Cade was cleared to play. I think the clarification there was that he was cleared to practice on Monday/Tuesday. Cade came out on Thursday-ish or Friday with a statement of his own, which was written on a Word document, by the way. Very weird. Just write it in the notes app like a normal person.
Oh, no. I like the Word document.
You liked the Word document.
Formal. Well, I would have preferred that.
Man, you got to at least make some better fonts and stuff. Like, make it a little more formal.
Wait, what do you want? Wingdings from him? Like, what? Yeah. You want, like, a zodiac letter from the guy?
And actually, Greg, could you pull that Word document?
I want him to scan a handwritten note.
That's what I was going to say. It would be my second option to just penning, like, a quill and a paper.
Oh, yeah.
Quill. I want him to cut out the letters from a magazine.
Oh, yeah. That was always fun back in school. We'll bring it up here. Grant's going to pull that up. But Cade comes out because now there's all this controversy for about 24 hours. We do our podcast. We kind of speculate, like, what could this be? Why could Jackson be starting in front of Cade? We gave a couple potential answers, but we definitely didn't have anything solid. None of us knew anything. I wake up the next morning on Thursday, and I listen to Docterman and Lystico, who have closer sources to the program at this point because they have to for reporting purposes. And they start to sort of make it seem like, oh, like this is like maybe a Cade decision, or like Cade might be potentially quitting on the team. They did caveat that with there could be something lingering here on the mental side because of the concussion or physical side. So let's not jump to too many conclusions. But then I start to think, oh, no. And this is sort of where everybody started to go. Twitter took off. Social media took off. Cade's quitting on the team. Cade's bailing on the Hawks. He's not even on the roster anymore. Everybody starts to make up their own rumors. He comes out, rights the ship, and says this right here.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years, but it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier? I think Dad's going to love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
It has come to my attention that there are individuals in the media circulating rumors about my current status on the Iowa football team. Not us, by the way. Some would think, but not us. Not the walk-ons. No. These are ridiculous accusations and 100% false. My status is the same as it's always been, a proud member of this football team. I suffered a concussion versus Northwestern and have been doing everything in my power to get back on the field. I have not, caps, all caps, been cleared to play yet. I was cleared to participate in practice this past Sunday, but had an adverse reaction, which is common for someone coming out of protocol. I have been lifting and attending meetings as much as possible, but have not physically participated in practice Monday through Thursday of this week. Because of this, I am unable to travel and participate this weekend at Maryland. I have been working with the University of Iowa doctors and trainers, a concussion specialist focused on vision training, as well as engaging in hyperbaric treatments as frequent as possible. It gets very specific in this. I have every intention to play versus Nebraska next Friday night, and I am confident that my teammates will return from Maryland with a win. Go Hawks, Cade McNamara. Now, interesting, just weird, right? Now, I think, and we could all speculate, it's his head, it's his concussion, right? But man, like 3 weeks, like it's taken a while for him to get back from this concussion. It must have been much worse than people maybe initially thought. It feels like it's taken a while for this to get back. I don't know what the adverse reaction to practice participation was. I don't know if it was a headache or what.
Sometimes even if you get your heart rate up too high after a concussion, that like without contact, you can almost like reconcuss yourself.
Sure.
But I have, cause it went Northwestern bye week. I don't know. It
just seems like a lot of time that you'd be probably good.
Yeah.
A coach texted me over the weekend, was like, not a coach of the current team, just a football coach that is respected in college football, or was, and was like, I don't, either this kid is soft or this was a much worse concussion than we thought, or something's going on here. Something is weird.
And it's weird because like he didn't come out after the play that he actually got concussed on.
Right. From the moment it's happened, so many things about it have been weird. And again, I'm not going to make this a podcast where we start speculating on, is he quitting on the team? Does he really want to be there? Is he just being soft? Yada, yada. I don't know.
What you don't want is you don't want to turn into Tua Tagovailoa and like start having spasms on the field. So
definitely don't want that.
There's one thing that you really just don't fuck with that. Like you don't power through concussion.
No, you don't. And I would never advise him to. So if he's having symptoms, dude, don't play. And to be completely separate from Cade in the quarterbacking discussion, yeah, we're pretty thin. Marco Line is lined up with a goddamn cast on his hand. He looked like Golem in the game the other day.
Does Golem wear a cast in Lord of the Rings?
I was going to say, I don't think you – have you seen Lord of the Rings?
You guys are talking about the wrong Golem. Pokemon. I think he was our second option. Guy didn't even have use of one of his hands. Now, granted, it was his left hand, I believe. But, I mean, we're thin. So – but – Stratton's doing all right. I think he's doing just as much production-wise as basically Cade gave us. No knock against Cade, but that's just the facts. But then this started circling into, okay, Cade's quit on the team. Now there's rumors that KF's lost the locker room. And then we hear that Jermari Harris isn't making the trip. And from behind the scenes, the rumor is that Jermari had surgery this past week or is having surgery this week at some point. He's been hurt. And with his injury, in combination with his injury and it being towards the end of the season in which, you know, and now we're going to get into the discussion of like, hey, how important are games? But Jermari's going to have quite a little off season here preparing for the NFL draft. You know, maybe he's made the decision. I really don't know. There was reports that he just decided to opt out purely and there was no injury. We didn't have Jermari. Grant put out a tweet. Hey, do we know for a fact that Jackson Stratton can't also play cornerback?
Got no evidence that he can't do that as well. Swiss Army knife player.
I've not seen him get beat on a deep ball yet.
He has not missed an assignment at quarterback a single time yet.
They've never targeted him a single time. He's that good.
So that's a good, great question posed by Grant there. But, you know, that starts to add to it. I don't know the status of that. I don't know if Jermari's hurt. I still don't know. As of Monday, when you guys are listening to this, I have no fucking clue. I think somebody asked about Jermari playing or guys opting out towards the end of the year. This is stuff that we're going to have to deal with here every year from here on out, unless things get drastically brought, you know, the pendulum swings back the other way on all this stuff. And this is Kirk. People tagged us in this because he gave us one of the, oh shit, okay, you shitting me? This is one of the best clips we've had of Kirk all year. I don't know what the question was, but this is a little 41 seconds from Kirk.
Reason for optimism, but flip it right around. I mean, you know, Laporta 2 years ago got scoped on, coincidentally, I just kind of ran into this the other day. November 22nd got scoped, and you couldn't keep him out of the Music City Bowl. A meaningless bowl, right, by the experts. You couldn't keep that guy out of there. And you think it's a coincidence he got drafted by the Lions and went to a Pro Bowl his first year? Jack Campbell, you shitting me? Him missing a game? And you saw Jay Higgins, all right? I mean, this guy, you know, you better knock him down and keep him down if you're going to keep him off the field. So that's what you love.
Jack Campbell missing a game? Are you shitting me?
You shitting me?
Holy shit, you'd have to put a fucking shotgun in that guy's dome and kill him if you wanted to keep him off the field, okay?
Oh, I love that. But yeah.
If you can get an are you shitting me at a KF in a actual press conference, you win.
Senior citizen, man. He doesn't care anymore.
Okay, you mentioned that he's a senior citizen. I thought during the game and in this press conference both, the man looks good.
Oh, I'm just saying chronological age, like, he is by definition a senior citizen.
He's to the point where you can no longer give a shit.
But yes, he is in excellent health.
The other day during the game, I don't know if it was the lighting in that stadium at Maryland or what, but I'm watching the game. I'm listening to Dolph and Pat because we're in the car. And I look and I go, Lauren, doesn't KF look young? Doesn't he? He looks young. And she's like, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I don't know if it's the lighting on his hair or what. And I was like, I don't know. Fountain of youth. Are you shitting me? Okay.
69 years young.
All right. It's because I lift weights. Okay. You think Kirk Ferentz, the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes, isn't going to be working out 5 days a week? Okay. You got to be shitting me. Fucking Jack Campbell, governor of the United States, governor of Iowa, president of the United States someday. Holy shit. You think that guy doesn't love America? You think he had Army plus 14? Holy shit. I don't know. I don't think KF has lost the locker room. That's I'm biased. It would be very hard for that man to lose a locker room.
And I think like kind of the point he's trying to get across here is like the core guys like who have been the leaders of this program for the last handful of years are very bought in, love playing football, love playing for their teammates and with their teammates. And that's what makes a strong locker room. Right? You're always going to have guys on the outskirts to be like, you know what? Ain't for me anymore. Like I'm just gonna sit out the rest of the year. And it's like, this is what's best for me. But yeah. When you have a strong core group, that's when you have a strong locker room. And you can, there's 120 guys on the team, right? There's always going to be guys on the periphery, but
yeah,
it's pretty evident. And you know, like you said, like with Higgins, with the guys like Nick Jackson, you got a strong core in there, but that is holding the guys together that want to really win two more games this year.
If I had to guess on the Jamari situation, and that's probably stupid to do, right? Don't do that. Don't just guess, but I'm going to do it. I would guess there is something injury related, and maybe he hasn't come out and said anything, or the coaches haven't said anything, because he is in a weird time where he doesn't really want to flaunt or promote injuries or reasons why he wouldn't be able to play as he tries to go into the NFL draft. I would guess that there might, maybe something's going on. He has to get something cleaned up. It could be as simple as a knee scope. And he's decided at this point, this is the time to do it, because he is going to have he's got to train. He's got to work on things that are going to happen in the combine, the draft, all this stuff. And when we play a clip from him about a month ago, Kev, him talking about KF as a father figure and all that, the way he came across, I would love to hear the situation, because listening to him the first time on that one clip, I felt like nobody was more committed to the team than Jamari Harris. So if you guys out there are thinking Jamari quit, or you're hearing rumor, like, I would really hold your tongue on that one, because I think that guy's pretty damn bought in as a sixth year senior Iowa Hawkeye. Who knows? But yeah, my thoughts on the game in general, I actually ended up tweeting sometime during that Thursday, Hawks by three scores plus. I just got this rush. I think it was during a workout, a rush of positivity and confidence in the Hawkeyes. They don't get there. Technically, 16 points is two scores, two possessions. But we were 1 point away from three scores. And we really controlled this game in the first half. There was one drive in the second half where we were like, ooh, what are we gonna try and make this interesting? But then the defense stepped up. We got a couple. I think we got two picks in a row and back to back possessions after that shaky drive. That Ty Felton, he's a great receiver. I think he's a league talent.
Stud,
right? Yeah. And I actually think that the two touchdowns that he scored on us were, you can't call them outliers, but they sort of were. Sebastian Castro on the first one hits Xavier Wampa. He literally knocks Xavier Wampa.
Yeah, I'm not.
I don't know what Castro's doing, but Wampa is on him.
Fucking chill, man.
Like, what are we
doing? I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to jam the receiver, like, and help him out. But he's like, reminds me of Miles Taylor. Like, Miles Taylor would get, like, all, like, jacked up and, like, just try to go hit somebody, you know? And it's like
you saw what I'm talking about, right?
I need to chase a car. And he's like, gotta go. Sometimes he's got,
like,
chill. Castro come to you every now and then.
Castro came down and basically picked, like, friendly fire picked off Wampa, and that left Ty Felton wide open in the corner for that first one. So I think if he doesn't do that, I think Wampa's on the guy. I think we cover that.
I mean, he's well covered at that point. Yeah.
On the second,
he would have had to make a contested catch.
Sure.
Contested catch.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been wide open like it was. And then on the second one, I think Nick Jackson had come out, and we had a little bit of confusion. We did not have a single guy on him. We did not cover the man. It wasn't that like he beat us. It was that we beat ourselves. And I understand that still they don't care. Maryland doesn't care if we beat ourselves. They're actually hoping we do that. Nonetheless, I don't think we were just like totally outgunned there. That wasn't like a Ohio State better talent situation. Kid is a great talent, but I think we were covering him pretty well. You know, the touchdowns and the points still count. Regardless, we come away 29-13. Unbelievable day from Caleb Johnson again, 150-plus yards. Most carries I think he's had all season. Ran him probably a little more than we would have liked. 35 carries is a lot. You don't that beats a guy up.
Didn't you have a quote after the game saying like he was like, I could play right now again?
I know people say that, dude, but dude, when Caleb Johnson woke up today, his fucking body hurt. He was hurt.
Again, I'm going to feed the propaganda that he's like he's gotten even stronger from this game.
35 carries? You know what? Another 5, I'd actually feel better. Give me 45.
Need a cool down. Need a cool down 5 carries.
Kamari Moulton, huge game. Best game of his year. Breaks off like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown run. Beautifully blocked play on one of the plays where he was kind of giving KJ a break.
So I was listening, so I didn't see, but that fumble on the first drive, whose fault was that?
It was his. Yeah, Stratton stuck that right in the gut. They replayed it and had a great shot of it, and that was another thing. Lauren looked over and was like, whose fault? Like, was that his fault? And I was like, yeah, I think that's Moulton's fault. And then
appreciate the redemption, though. That was cool.
Well, and you know what I love is they just put him right back in the ballgame.
Yeah.
Right? I think a lot of times Lauren leaned over and was like, do you take him out after that? And I was like, well,
he's got to go sit on the bench for a while anyway. So
yeah, I was like, in my opinion, one is sort of like you made a mistake. Two is now maybe a pattern. You take him out after two for sure. But after one, I say, hey, you're good. It happens. You're a Division I running back. We know you can get the job done. Keep that kid's confidence high and let him go eat a little bit. And that's what they did. And they ran Patterson a lot. He got I think Patterson got 5 or 6 carries. He had some hard runs for some hard yardage, didn't really do a whole lot. Moulton and KJ really did the bulk of it. But I mean, what do we have here? 273 rushing yards. We're averaging 4.8 a carry.
Dude, it's just
leading the Big Ten.
If we had this running game last year,
Ooh,
it would have been beautiful. Like the 37 minutes time possession.
You shit me, okay? That's called taking. That's controlling the ball, all right?
Loving what we're getting out of this run game this year. I mean, there's been a couple games where we haven't been able to establish it as much, but this is just beautiful Iowa football. Being able to run the game, run the time possession. Control the ball, keep the defense off the field, defense playing good when they're on the field. It's like, it makes winning so much easier when you can do those things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think time of possession is such a, when you look at that stat, man, it tells a lot.
Winning turnovers too.
At one point, Kev, I think in the first half, I think time of possession was like 18 minutes to 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't score.
if you don't have the ball, you can't score.
It checks out.
So 273 yards rushing. Again, only 76 through the air. Although, Grant, you watched a game I saw on Twitter that had 0 yards through the air, and that team won a ball game too this weekend.
Yeah, tip of the cap, Air Force Falcons. Good, great win with no passing yards. Shout out our loyal friend, Mr. Dr. Painter. I think he was up watching the game.
Yes, well. Yes. And how late was that game?
Mountain time? I think it's maybe around like 10:45, 11 maybe? I don't know.
When it started?
No, when it was over.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
How late were you up Saturday night? Yesterday, last night?
Not super late. I don't think anything regular. Like a little shortly after the UCLA and USC ended.
So 1 a.m.?
Yeah, something around there probably is accurate. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You and I have different standards. We just have different clarifications of what's late.
This upcoming weekend is the last regular season of football. We have to soak all of it in.
I understand.
It's over soon.
I know. Zero passing yards. Now, do we think it's a bit of a maybe the most ironic that they are the Air Force and they have zero passing yards through the air?
Yeah, I got someone was commenting. Someone tweeted at me today. Like, usually aren't they a fan of the air attack? And I was like, well, that would check out, yes. But yeah. Hey, I mean, I don't know. Winning's winning. I don't know. I think people are going to look back. There's probably a lot of seniors on that team, and they're not going to think like, oh, if only we just ran a couple routes, got some passing yards. It's going to be like, we beat Nevada. I don't know if it was their last home game or not. I don't remember where it was, to be totally honest. But hey, like, the seniors will appreciate the win, right? I don't think they're worried about passing yards.
No, it's a great
surprised
stat.
That the service academy is like, they always ran the option because like they can't have that big of lineman because the guy's got to be like, fucking.
Yeah. And they got to be able to run
Air Force and run miles at a time. But like, why? Like, they could do an air raid offense too if they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, outside of this weekend, Army was kind of slinging it at times there.
Well, and it does. It's unfortunate that Army had to go down like they did this weekend.
Hey, season's still alive though. They're in they clinched the American Conference Championship last week. The way the Big 12 is handling themselves right now, it's not impossible that them or Tulane could find themselves in a playoff game.
And I would love nothing more. I would love
Tulane's losses too.
Kansas State was one of them because I remember they blew a gigantic lead just to make me upset, and then I can't remember
just
the other one.
Just to make me upset.
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Which, do we want to talk about Oklahoma quick?
What the fuck?
How does Alabama – I mean, Oklahoma has been dog water all year long.
They're not very good, no.
And they just went and handled, like, absolutely dominated Alabama.
I just think Alabama didn't show up.
It just confuses me how you don't show up. I don't understand.
It's not a Nick Saban coach team anymore.
Well, that's true. Like, in my mind, if this is – that's nail in the coffin on Alabama's hopes for a playoff. Three losses, and two of them are to Vandy and Oklahoma? Bad teams.
It seems like Nick Saban is worth whatever they're paying him. But, yeah, if you have told an Alabama fan last year that there's going to be 12 teams in the playoff – well, obviously everyone knew that last year, but Alabama was not going to be one of them.
Them odds on Alabama to make it. They would have put their mortgages on it. They would have put the house on it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What'd you say? Disappointing?
I was kind of expecting them to handle their business, but.
Oh.
As was probably Kevin, who had minus 13. Like, I don't know.
But I mean, they weren't the only ones. I mean, Ole Miss, like, all they had to do is beat a 5-5 Florida team and then walk over a dog shit Mississippi State next week, and they're in the playoff. They're on the outside looking in now.
Gosh, I was really looking.
BYU is like, I think they still are going to be in the Big 12 championship if they win this week.
Oh, do you guys want to talk Big 12 scenarios? Because we got 8 teams eligible right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, does anyone want to win the Big 12? It doesn't seem like it.
No, they don't.
There's still a scenario where West Virginia makes the playoff.
I read a little article on it because I was curious on Iowa State.
Are you telling me, wait, West Virginia can win the Big 12 still?
I think they can technically win the title. And like, if they won every game and everything worked out their way, I think they could technically win the national championship with under double-digit wins.
Well, no, they wouldn't. West Virginia is 6-5.
They don't get in the playoff.
They'd have to somehow be ranked and get in, but they wouldn't. Iowa State and Arizona State are the two most likely at this point. BYU and Colorado right behind them. And none of them play each other to end the season. So they all play, I think.
So Arizona State has the head-to-head over BYU, obviously. Have any of those other teams played each other?
No. Colorado has not played Iowa State or BYU.
No. And so,
or Arizona State.
I'm not going to try and run through it. All I know is the most likely scenarios are like Arizona State and Iowa State. BYU gets in there. Colorado, I think, is the least likely of the four now, but they all play a team that isn't each other to end the game. So they're counting on each other to win or lose. There's three ways.
What are the parameters for like tiebreakers.
Yeah,
obviously head to heads up there, but
Big 12
besides Arizona State and BYU, none of them have played each other.
Which is
shame on Big 12 schedulers. Like,
yeah. So here are the steps, and this is how I would have done it.
If they all tie, this is it.
Holy shit! Yeah.
So step one is head to head. Step one is head to head. That's right. The first one. The second tiebreaker is the win percentage against all common conference opponents between the tied teams. So then you have to go look at their schedules and who they played in common opponents and what their win percentage is against them. If that doesn't do it, then it goes to win percentage against the next highest placed common opponent in the standings based on the record in all games played within the conference and proceeding through the standings. If that doesn't do it, it goes to combined win percentage in conference games of conference opponents or the strength of conference schedule. The fifth one is total number of wins, just like your total record. The sixth, there's a tiebreaker where it's just the highest ranking based on Sports Source Analytics. And then seventh tiebreaker
is outsourcing to Sports Source Analytics.
Correct.
Not the CFP rankings, not the AP poll.
And if somehow that wouldn't do it.
Computers that the BCS poll used to run on.
If somehow the Sports Source Analytics had those two teams still tied somehow, it would come down to a coin toss.
Wow.
Could you imagine a coin toss?
I want a coin toss so bad. That would be awesome. Amazing. Could be like the Ivy League, though. I believe the Ivy League has three champions this year because there's no tiebreakers.
Yeah. Can you imagine like you get to like one of those tiebreakers further down the list, and then like say BYU gets left out because they beat Cincinnati, who in the last week of the season lost to whatever.
Yep.
Changes their winning percentage, like their opponent's winning percentage, and so that's how they get. Like, I would be so pissed off.
Yeah,
that's how I got left out of.
Yeah, there is a scenario in some world where a team would not get in because the last week of the year, you know, the majority of the opponents that they played just all had a bad week to end the season, and that's why they didn't get. Like, that would just be trash.
So did whoever did this write up? So it's like Arizona State and Iowa State are most likely?
Yes. So if all of them win or all of them lose, I believe it's Iowa State and Arizona State.
So BYU's got Houston. They might have the easiest game. Iowa State's got Kansas State. They might have the toughest
game. I think Iowa State has the toughest game.
Colorado has Oklahoma State, so they actually might have the easiest game. Arizona State has Arizona.
I mean, dude, Oklahoma State and –
So is that why if I'm guessing because Iowa State plays Kansas State, who has a good record, if they get a win versus them, that boosts them up in the other tie-breaking rankings?
Well, I would. Yeah, that's my.
So they're going to have the hardest win. But if they get the win, they're the most likely to get it.
They are. Yeah, they're rewarded for it. Basically. Yeah. Yeah. So you're sitting here for other people that are it's relevant to, you know, Iowa State after losing two in a row and everything looked doom and gloom. Now, because BYU and Colorado decided to lose, they're right back in it. And if they go and then win that thing, I think they just got, you know, this is the AP, but I think in the AP, they were just ranked 17th today, this afternoon. So
they would have to get ranked above Army or Tulane to get in.
Yes. It'd have to be they're not going to.
They're not going to pass Boise.
Boise's going to be one of those top four seeds. It just is.
I don't know. It's been struggling lately. They have not looked good.
I guess they got what, Oregon State?
Do they?
Yeah, like, GT has like 10 injuries right now, and without him, they are just not good.
And they play a conference championship game, correct?
They do. UNLV probably, I think.
Okay, so let's assume they win. That then they it's going to be the Big Ten champion, the ACC champion, the SEC champion, and Boise State. And then the Big 12 champion is going to be your fifth seed or
they're going to be
the 12 seed because they'll have two or three losses. And
congratulations, you get to play Ohio State.
That's tough.
Well, maybe depending on
Ohio State, if you could
be Oregon.
It's just a weird scenario. Anyway, the Big 12 is completely fucked. Let's roll it back around here to this. This is from Courtney. Question from Courtney in the Patreon. One of our Courtney is probably like top 10, top 5 of all washed up walk-ons.
Are we ranking fans?
If we are, Courtney's up there.
Should we do a top? We haven't done a top five in a while. Top five fans.
Top five. Courtney's an OG, been with us a long time, very active in the Discord, patreon.com/washwalkons if you want in on that. She sent us this question last week, and then I forgot to bring it up on the Thursday episode, and then I got called out for dodging the hard questions as a joke. She goes, I'm curious your guys' take on the difference between leadership and brotherhood on the team, if there is one. This year or in years past, maybe when you guys were on the team, it seems like usually they have strong leadership, but some years they are more of a tight-knit group, like last year, and she references Leo Fee, which for anyone that's new this year means love each other, fuck everybody else. Seemed like they were 100% playing for each other every snap last year. And the year Jack stood in the post-game press conference and said, there's no way I'm going to stand up here and talk bad about the offense, yada, yada. But this year, they obviously have the strong senior leadership, but they don't seem to have some of that same togetherness or brotherhood. This is just her opinion. She's sort of speculating. Or maybe that, and she caveats that at the end with, or maybe that's just totally made up figment of my imagination. So she sort of at the beginning of the question there designates it difference. Is there a difference between leadership and brotherhood, or can there be varying levels of both, or do they go hand in hand? What are your thoughts on that, Kevin?
I mean, they're correlated, but they're different things for sure, right? Like if you don't have strong leadership, it's going to be tough to have a, you know, very cohesive and together locker room, but you can also have strong leadership and, you know, just not a, I guess like the second thing, brotherhood, it's like what percent of buy-in do you have? That would be like an objective way of stating that, right? And obviously they're correlated, but they're not directly connected.
Yeah, the way I view it is
like you can't have a strong locker room without strong leadership, but you can.
But you can still have a brotherhood.
Yeah.
So here's my personal thing. I think there's maybe some semantics here that maybe they don't matter. I do think it's an interesting sort of posed question. I think you can have, brotherhood as a wider term in a lot of different areas. Like there's a lot of places that like describe themselves as the brother. I think there's, you know, this is going to go way off. I think the Nazis probably considered themselves a brotherhood. Like,
similar, Duke basketball always says they're the brotherhood.
You know, like I think of like a, when I think of like brotherhood, for some reason, like biker gang comes to mind, or like, you know, like
the Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. Or something. Like, it's the brotherhood, man. My assessment of that is that you could have a brotherhood and maybe the morals or the ideas or the disciplines of that group of people, they might not be good. Like it's a brotherhood. They're all connected. They're all, connecting on the same values or same things that they enjoy or the same experiences that they're going through. But it might not mean that things are good. It might not be a positive thing. I think when you factor in leadership as a variable there, leadership, especially in this sense of a Division I football program or just a sports program, starts to steer that brotherhood in the right direction, right? Or help them along, guide them. There's a lot of teams, and I can think of the 2014 team specifically that we were on, Kev, where, we had a good brotherhood. You know, we went through bonded experiences, off-season training program. There's a lot of good friends on that team. Of course, right? You have 100 guys. There's always that. I don't know if we had the best leadership that year, you know? Compared to some of our other years, for sure. Or for some reason, the leadership didn't get through as much. And so I think they're definitely different in a way.
Honestly, maybe I'd argue like in a different way. It's like I think we had strong leaders on that team. You think about Mark Wiseman.
Mark comes to mind, but I.
But how much buy-in did you have in like on – Like when you have key contributors who are like causing trouble, not being late, not showing up to practices, lifts, et cetera, like that means like the buy-in on the periphery is not where it needs to be, right? Like you sure still have, like every Iowa team I've been a part of had a core group of like four or five senior guys or upperclassmen or whatever, like really strong leaders, right? It's just, has everyone else bought in on the message?
Sure. Yeah, no, I don't know if there's a real, an easy answer to it. And to be honest, specifically speculating from the outside, it is tough, Courtney, because, you know, I don't know what that locker room looks like or sounds like on a daily basis.
It's almost impossible to get a feel. You can maybe try to get a feel, but it's very hard to really understand what the environment's like in that locker room. And I think it was easier to see in the last couple years, when the offense was really struggling and you had guys say, hey, no, the offense, those are our teammates too. We're sticking up for those guys. We love them, et cetera. I don't think anyone's really had to defend anybody in the press this year. So it's sure. It's not as obvious, right? It
doesn't come out in their public statements as much.
Right. Yep. But I'm sure if asked the question again, Jay Higgins would give the exact same answer.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it is a good assumption that this team definitely does have great leadership. I mean, you've got 6-year seniors all over the place. I would be shocked if those guys weren't leading. And I know they are because you listen to Coach Parker or Coach Wallace. I mean, you've heard that the coaches don't bullshit on that. They've talked about the leadership of that team or those players. So yeah, I don't know. I think maybe that, and Courtney can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think maybe that question comes from we're sort of on the outside searching for some answer still on the reason that this team was inconsistent a little bit this year. And I don't think that inconsistency necessarily 100% correlates with the lack of leadership or brotherhood either. That's a really tough. It's a tough topic. I mean, teams lose, right? It's just a reality of things. Sometimes things don't go your way. Other teams are trying to win too. And four losses is tough, but I don't think it's because of a lack of leadership. A lot of things didn't bounce our way too. Like we talked about the quarterback stuff. I mean, handled some adversity this year. So good question though. Appreciate the questions. Always creates great discussion. That's about all I got for tonight. You guys got any other words of wisdom? Hawks, big win today, 30 points.
Yeah.
Against Washington State, undefeated. Probably we'll see our first ranked 2024-2025 Iowa women's team tomorrow in the AP poll. 6-0, I believe.
I'd be really surprised if they weren't.
Yeah, I mean, it's been surprising when they weren't the last 2 weeks, to be honest. So I think
I'll see that. Max Llewellyn, another sick game. Just going to point that out.
The guys had himself a little bit of a year.
Yeah, we bought in early.
Grant's had the stock, right?
We got it early.
Grant got it for pennies.
Holding.
With diamond hands. We're holding. All right.
It's up there like Bitcoin right now, baby. High.
He's got that spin move down to a science.
Oh, and he hits the hands away and just... Yeah. It's good.
looks like a Von Miller.
Boy can rush a little bit.
Broncos. Yeah. No, seriously, though, great job from him. I was just happy with everything this weekend.
To get a win.
Watching. I was like, I'm just proud of these guys. You know, yeah. I'm just fired up for the fellas.
It feels good to win. And we've got a big one coming up. I was just down there this weekend in Nebraska again, attended a large volleyball matchup this past weekend.
But
they were high on their own supply.
But the football.
They're feeling good.
Well, I mean, they've been to a bowl. I'm assuming this is in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Oh, and I'll finish that, with that, actually.
Referring to?
Yeah, in the early part of the episode, I said I think it was good that Wisconsin let them gain bowl eligibility for this week. And what I mean by that is, and I don't know how much of this really would have played a factor, but I don't think you would choose to play a team that's fighting for their bowl eligibility in the last game of the year for the first time in 8 years. I don't think you want to sign up for that, to play against that motivation.
Was it between that or an undefeated team?
I would say no. It's just the scenario we have now. It's now we get a Husker team that's 6-5.
It was would you rather be playing a 6-5 team or a 5-6 team?
Yes.
All other things equal. Yeah, you'd probably rather.
Yeah, you probably want the 6-5 team because now maybe there's a chance they kind of we got bowl eligibility. You know, we'll go and give it a good shot in Iowa City, but we made our bowl game. Who knows?
How'd
you guys feel about
instead of Raiola going, I guarantee we get bowl eligibility next week against the Hawkeyes, and they just come in spitfire. Like, yeah,
There's a different player who said something similar in a post game interview on the field. But how did you guys feel about the field storming?
Embarrassing.
Embarrassing. But what was that, their first bowl game in
since 2016?
That's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
That's incredible.
You and I still had a year of eligibility left.
You know what happened in 2016 too? Is we fucking dog walked them.
Yeah, we did.
That was an awesome game.
Yeah, it was. That was a good game. All right.
We dog walked them the next year too.
We dog walked them several times, and it was a good time.
Yeah.
Hopefully the boys can dog walk them this week. We got one regular season game left. Appreciate you guys being with us all season long and beyond. You guys will hear this on Monday. The entire lineup of walk-on programming all week long. Appreciate you guys being there as well. Talk to you then. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.